you're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. It is Friday. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. With that, we say hello. It is Friday. Field, Matthew, and Stefania reunited at last. Matthew,
yep.
How much did you miss us?
I was in Vegas, so not at
all. Not much. Okay. Did you even think about us once?
Yeah, you know what? I did.
What was the occasion? Gosh, I'm so happy they aren't here right now.
The occasion was I was checking my email, and Daniel sent out an email about the next day's show that I was included on, I think probably just out of habit. And I thought to myself, I don't have to do that tomorrow.
Wow. Must be nice.
So that was the moment that I thought of all of you. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you had just one moment.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. I took a personal day and went out and hung out with some friends, went to the G2E conference, which was exciting. A lot of fun. Met a lot of interesting, smart people. So it was cool.
It's funny because when I take a personal day, it's like I'm going to the dentist and it happens to be the only time slot available is when the fantasy show is on, right? You're like Odell Beckham Jr. and Victor Cruz when they took a personal day after their big Week 17 win. We're just going to go fly to Miami for a day, right?
Right.
Personal day. Just go to Vegas.
Quick
trip here from good old Bristol.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. It was business, man.
Okay. Business, personal, one of the two. Let's move on to our business of the show, which is, of course, getting you ready for everything in Week 5. But before we can do that, we have to get to last night's Thursday night recap. The Rams emerged victorious. They improved to 4-1 over the Seahawks, who fall to 2-3. But last night was from insult to literally injury, Stefania, as the Seahawks now might not have their star quarterback available for a period of time.
This injury to Russell Wilson was something else. And about halfway through the third quarter, if you saw what happened, he injured his finger when he collided with Aaron Donald. And after the game, Coach Pete Carroll called it a badly sprained finger and made it sound like there would be more testing underway. Before we get into what's next, I want to explain to you guys what happened and why this is not really a sprain per se. I understand why they use that generic term to make things easier last night, but I'm going to call on our trusty researcher, Thirsty Kyle. He's going to be my subject, reluctantly, but still he's going to be my subject because for the people who are watching on video, I think it just really helps to have a visual of this. So it was Russell Wilson's third finger. Here's Kyle's third finger. And what happened was the tip of his finger got bent down forcibly when he contacted Aaron Donald. And so that tears the extensor tendon, which attaches at the tip of the finger, which extends your finger, straightens your finger. When it's torn, your finger sits like this. So if you search the internet and you're looking for the picture, you will see this picture of Russell Wilson's third finger down like that. Now, Kyle, just straighten your fingertip for me. See how he was able to do that? Russell Wilson cannot do that. Okay? So thank you, Kyle. yes.
Applause. Kyle was great right there.
So here's the thing. There are a couple things involved here. One is it was obviously painful last night. You could see that they were working on trying to fashion a splint where he could be able to function with the football. But Pete Carroll said afterwards he couldn't really grip or throw the football like he needed to. One of the issues, too, is, when the fingertip is hanging down like that, just if you're a quarterback taking snaps, if you can't get that fingertip out of the way, it can affect your ball handling when you're under center. So that could be a problem. What's the treatment for something like this? This is what nobody wants to hear. It's typically
rest.
Splinting. You splint the fingers in extension straight so that it can heal. That takes about 6 to 8 weeks. Mm. Now, is it possible they could come up with some kind of a splint potentially and protect it? But as a quarterback, when you have that third finger locked into a certain position, that's going to make it difficult to throw. People might wonder about surgery. There is a way to insert a pin. I've talked to a couple hand surgeons. They talk about a buried pin that would hold the finger in extension. But the idea is you still got to keep it straight in order to allow it to heal. The third option is do nothing, stick with the deformity, and figure out a way around it. I will say this. The streak is very important to Russell. He is expected to undergo further testing. I would not be surprised. There is a report on NFL Network that he's going to Los Angeles to see Stephen Shin. Dr. Stephen Shin, who I've talked to about these type of injuries in the past, is the one who operated on Drew Brees, who also got injured, incidentally, when he contacted Aaron Donald. But if anyone knows how to help athletes work through an injury or do what is the best to get them back functionally the quickest, it would be him. So stay tuned.
Okay, that is a lot of information right there. But the most important part, obviously, in terms of people what they're asking for fantasy, is that you have to brace for the possibility that Russell Wilson will not be available. Stefan, you mentioned the streak. Russell Wilson has started 148 straight games. It's the sixth longest streak ever by a quarterback in NFL history. Moreover,
Stefania.
Yes.
Didn't Russell Wilson like literally sprain his MCL at one time? Like, I remember he had his brace on. Like
I think you're right. I think it was his MCL. Yeah. Way to go, by the way.
Right. Sprained his MCL and didn't miss a game.
Yeah, either that or he had a high ankle injury. It was something that he had. We saw a video of him working around the clock with BFR on a bike at like 2:30 in the morning. The idea being working around the clock and did not miss. But he
did not miss a game. He struggled, but he was out there. He was in a brace. I'm just going to be very clear on this. He's got 9 other fingers. He ain't missing this game. He ain't missing this game. I'm calling it right now. Like, I am calling it right now. He's got 10 games before the game against the Steelers. Russell Wilson ain't missing that game. He's got 9 other fingers. Like, Russell, I'm not saying he'll play well against the, but Russell Wilson doesn't miss football games. Bent back finger, blah, blah, blah. The man was out there on one leg. Russell Wilson doesn't miss football games. He's playing against Pittsburgh.
Okay, I have a decidedly different level of confidence that Russell Wilson will play against Pittsburgh next Sunday night, but we'll find out more perhaps later today, but certainly at some point next week.
We got 10 days.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of things here then, Matthew.
Yes, sir.
What I was going to tell you earlier was that Russell Wilson has the second longest streak ever for a quarterback in terms of consecutive games played to start his career as a rookie. He's at 148. Peyton had the record at 208 straight games. But Russell Wilson, if he does not play, Matthew.
Sure.
What does that mean for the value of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
I'll play along.
Okay.
Sure, let's pretend he doesn't play. Sure, I will play along.
I love your certainty, but I admire it, but I think it's perhaps
foolish.
Misplaced. Yeah. The dude has a torn tendon in his fingers. Stefania just told us this.
I understand. They'll splint it up. They'll throw tape on it.
Oh, yeah. Real easy to throw with a splint on your middle finger. Real easy.
You guys, you know what? I just want to interject. You guys are having the exact conversation that is actually what the conversation will be. And I will say this.
Can he shot put it? Can he throw it with his left hand?
It's a common injury in basketball players who, like I said, they'll play through it because they don't want to miss that much time for what they think is an aesthetic thing. But for a quarterback, it comes down to functionality. So he's going to have to prove it in order to play.
We'll see. We shall see. I just don't know right now. You seem certain. We'll find out next week. But Matthew,
here's what I'm doing. I have no medical basis whatsoever. You know that. The entirety of my medical knowledge is, hey, Stefania, what do you think? That's the entirety of my medical knowledge.
Sure.
I believe in that guy not missing games.
Sure. And you know what the counterpoint is? Like, there are a lot of players that have long streaks of not missing games until they do miss games, right? Like, that's just how stuff works.
I understand.
Jarvis Landry had never missed a game until he missed a game, right? Like, it just happened a couple weeks ago. So anyways, let's talk about the people need this information.
Here's the information. I thought Geno Smith actually looked a lot better than I think anyone expected. It's been a long time since we've seen him, obviously, on an NFL field. And I thought Geno Smith looked good, right? You know, and 10-day, like, let's pretend we know that Russell Wilson's going to make this game. Geno Smith's going to get all the first team reps. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf will be out there with him. Like, Geno Smith, you know, DK Metcalf scored a touchdown with Geno, right? So to the extent that you, a fantasy manager, cares about it, you're still starting DK Metcalf. You're still starting Tyler Lockett. Would you lower expectations maybe a little bit? Sure, of course. Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. It's a step down from him to pretty much anyone in the NFL, and that's no disrespect to Geno Smith. So certainly, yes, there is a step down when you're going from Russell Wilson to almost anyone in the league. But in terms of your decision-making process, it is not enough of a downgrade, in my opinion, that you would ever consider benching either of those two guys. And those are the only two guys that you're starting in the passing attack. You're not starting Will Dissly or Gerald Everett, might be back next week. You're not starting any of the periphery wide receivers, and the running backs are the running backs. We'll see if Chris Carson makes a return. I feel like Chris Carson will be back. He was a game time decision. Alex Collins gets the start. You're still starting Chris Carson, regardless of who's under center. Or you're starting Collins or Carson, whoever the starting running back is.
Just my only thing that I want to add there is I'm a little more nervous for Tyler Lockett than DK Metcalf, only because what Tyler Lockett does so exceptionally well is the vertical passing game with Russell Wilson, yep, who might be the best deep ball thrower we've seen in, I don't know, a long time in the NFL. So obviously not having him would impact the vertical opportunities for Tyler Lockett.
But would you...
If I'm not benching him. No, no, no.
There you go. Saying. That's my point.
You can add a little nuance here and there and every once in a while,
sure,
as well.
Of course.
You mentioned Alex Collins. He did have 72 yards on 17 touches. We'll follow up next week to see whether Chris Carson might be trending towards playing or not. Collins finished with 9.2 fantasy points. Not what you wanted, but 17 touches, still nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, now, tough matchup next week, obviously, against Pittsburgh. But, Collins, I thought, was fine.
He's fine. He was about what you should have expected if you picked up Alex Collins last minute to play
on a short week against the Rams.
All right, let's move forward to the Rams. And Matthew Stafford had 365 passing yards, a touchdown, a pick. Bad pick at that. 16.5 fantasy points for him. He's now up over 275 passing yards in all five games this year. Has the fifth most passing yards by any player in his first five games with the new team in NFL history. He has been really, really good so far for the Rams. Darrell Henderson had about two-thirds of the snaps last night and made good on them. Again, 16.9 fantasy points on 99 total yards. That is good. I thought Sony Michel, once again, looked pretty good. I think the Rams will intend, as I said on the show yesterday, to maybe even things out a little bit. You know, last week it was all Henderson after Michel fumbled. Last night, it was about a 2-1 snap share for Henderson in favor of Michel. I don't know that it gets to 50-50, but maybe there's a chance it levels off at like 60-40. But still, Henderson, clearly the one that you want to be starting week in and week out. Time for us to go for two.
Before you get there, I want to just read something real quick.
Okay.
May I?
Sure.
This is from my Love Hate. So I have my Love Hate posted yesterday on ESPN.com. Even though I was in Vegas, I still managed to get the column in on time. Wow, got it
so.
Up.
That is
there you
incredible.
Go.
Incredibly noble by you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Anyway, so this is what I wrote. So Darrell Henderson was on the love list.
Okay.
And this is what I wrote. Starting anyone worse than a top tier set it and forget it running back in a Thursday night game, especially playing on the road, is the stuff of fantasy nightmares. But I truly believe Henderson can be a set it, briefly become nauseous, but ultimately feel good about it back for you in week five.
Okay.
Which I thought was about as good a prediction that ended up coming true, is because that's what he was. Like, he was just like, you're like, and it was just like, oh no. And they were like, yay.
Yeah.
Like it was a roller coaster of emotions with Darrell Henderson. But by the way, he's been very productive. We talked about him in the preseason. I agree. They're going to use Sony Michel more, gets the touchdown. Sony Michel gets another touchdown late. But Henderson is going to be Henderson. Like, if you were ranking for the rest of the season, even though we expect more Sony Michel, he's easily a top 15 fantasy running back.
Yeah. And part of that's attrition. Like, there's just so few running backs, but he has been good in his opportunity. He's definitely a top 15 guy for the rest of the season based off what we've seen so far.
I thought I'd get a better reaction, Daniel, from that call. I thought that was pretty good because it really was that. He was good, and then he got hurt a little bit, and you're like, oh no, and then he come back. And
it was
he
a good
touchdown.
Call.
Like, yeah. It was just, I was making a joke, but it ended up being the exact
but that's what
happened.
There you go.
I was all proud of myself.
Time for us to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. The Rams have two wide receivers that you can trust in your fantasy lineup. Again, as last night, Cooper Kupp did some Cooper Kupp things, 7 catches on 10 targets, 92 yards. Did not find the end zone, but 16.2 fantasy points, a nice start for those that had Cooper Kupp in their lineup last night. But the breakout story was Robert Woods. Bobby Trees, squeaky wheel, got the grease as Robert Woods finally expressed a little bit of frustration, and he broke out. He looked amazing last night. 12 catches on 14 targets for 150 yards, Matthew. I know that it's been difficult. I know you had been personally feeling this one.
Sure. I have a lot of Robert Woods this year.
You do. But I will say this. Some of the stuff that you had expressed about how, Stafford's just not looking his way this season, as far as I'm concerned, after last night, it's possible he's not going to have 12 catches every single game, but, all those concerns should be washed away for you right now.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, again, if you watch it, it was a different Matthew Stafford than the first three games. They were actively seeking out Robert Woods. Sorry, the first four games. Correct. Sorry. Through the first four games, they were actively seeking out Robert Woods. He was the first option on a number of pass plays. You know, they actually designed some stuff that was clearly – they designed some plays that was clearly designed to get him in space and get him, you know, matched up in a right way. Like, it was stuff designed specifically for him. Like, felt like, right, you know, as opposed to just – and then there were other times where just Stafford scrambling around, he's looking around, and, you know, Woods made a play. Stafford was a lot better. I agree with you. What my concern was is that because you still have Van Jefferson, you still have Tyler Higbee, you still have DeSean Jackson, they still have a number of guys they want to get involved in this. And so does that offense support two consistent fantasy relevant players the way it has in the past, given the emergence of all and the addition of DeSean Jackson, the emergence of Van Jefferson and, you know, having Higbee there. So that was my concern about Robert Woods through the first 4 weeks because they just weren't looking for him. Or, you know, he's getting these, you know, oh, by the way, touchdowns.
I think the answers are pretty resounding yes, though. I think he can. I mean, again, Robert Woods is not a good player. He's a great player.
Right?
This is a guy for many, many years has been a stalwart for this. He's team cap, paid him a ton of money. Like, they're not just going to change their ways with Robert Woods. So I think that the first 4 weeks, those were an eyesore, and they were difficult to live through as a fantasy manager. But good times started last night, and I suspect they continue going forward.
So your recommendation would not be to sell high on Robert Woods off of one game. He's had one
good
game.
Unless you want to trade him to me, go ahead. Yeah, I'll give you the Panthers defense.
I'm going to pass on that opportunity.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Well, you might regret that one day. Hmm. Hey, pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app. You can, of course, be a part of our group. A couple more notes there. Well, one specifically. Tyler Higbee, 2 catches on 2 targets for 14 yards. The good news was one of them went for a touchdown. All right, we're going to come back and talk about injuries in just a second. But first, hey, Daniel, do you own or rent your home?
For now.
Well, I'm not going to press you any further on that, but I bet it can be hard work. But you know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico.
Are you going to have to move in with me?
To bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It'll be perfect because Matthew can have homeowners and I can have renter's insurance. Hey-o! And we can both be in Matthew's house. It's great.
Exactly. That sounds like a new... You know what that should be? It feels like you moving in with me should be like a series for ESPN Minus Plus.
I'm with you. With you on that. I think we have a new
on the fantasy show. We have a new subscription streaming service. It's ESPN Minus Plus.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. Yeah
that's pretty really fun. Yeah. It's pretty fun. You should check it out. I put a new video up on Instagram yesterday. Hey, no matter what sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. True. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Mm. Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team, you ask? Well, its matching technology scans resumes across its network of millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to apply. Then, you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We're going to get to the injuries in just 1 second, but first a note about a player's availability. It has nothing to do with an injury, though, is Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley did not make the trip with the team to London. He is not going to London because of personal matters. We know nothing more, and we have no interest in speculating on why Calvin Ridley is not with his teammates. Matthew, we don't want to be insensitive to what he may be dealing with right now, but just the fantasy fallout here is that we both expect slash hope that this means much more Kyle Pitts on Sunday.
I'll go even further. We're 5 weeks into the season. If they're playing the Jets, there's no Calvin Ridley. If Kyle Pitts can't do it in this game, I don't know when you would have confidence that he could ever do it, right? I'm sure he'll have some good games along the way, but like a part of fantasy football isn't just producing, but knowing when to start those players. Right. And so like if we go through 5 weeks and Kyle Pitts has been a dud. Like at that point, you're just like, Well, if he can't start, if he's not startable against the Jets with no Calvin Ridley, like, when is he startable? And so my expectation is Kyle Pitts made the love list. My expectation here is that he does have a really good game. Look, he leads the team in targets outside of Calvin Ridley. Like, if you take Calvin Ridley off, you know, he's second highest target share on the team. He runs a ton of routes. He's on the field. He's obviously a red zone target here. And so against the Jets, I think he's a good play. I have Kyle Pitts as a top six tight end this week.
Just want to make one note. Again, they play Sunday in London. The game is at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. If you have a Falcon or Jet that you are playing in your lineup, the old trick you got to remember here. If it's a running back, play that player in your running back slot. If it's a wide receiver, play that player in your wide receiver spot. So as an example, if you are planning on playing Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Don't flex Cordarrelle Patterson because it just creates additional roster wiggle room later on in the day. 9:30 a.m. Eastern time is kickoff for that game. But don't forget, Fantasy Football Now will be on at 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Stefania, Christian McCaffrey left 2 weeks ago last night, the hamstring injury on Thursday Night Football. He missed last week, and we were bracing for anything. As of, again, it's 11:20 on Friday morning, where are we standing with Christian McCaffrey?
We're waiting to see what he does today because he practiced on a limited basis both Wednesday and Thursday. And I think after we talked about the fact that he was going to try and do some work on Wednesday, and it always depends not only on them getting through what they're assigned to do in practice that day, but how they feel the next day. And Christian McCaffrey said after practice that he felt great and definitely has a chance to play on Sunday. Again, we don't put too much in how players rate their injuries usually because oftentimes they're more optimistic than maybe they should be.
Yeah.
But Christian McCaffrey is someone who really knows his body well and who was holding himself out last year when he felt he could not perform up to what he needed to after that high ankle sprain. So I tend to trust his opinion a little bit more. I would say, you know, this is a bit of a surprise because he's only missed one game with the hamstring injury. They may opt to be more conservative and hold him till week six, but let's see what he does today.
Yeah, Stefania, every little kernel of information that I've been able to gather suggests he's got a real shot of playing on Sunday, maybe even will be available. So that would be great, great news. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey, the most valuable player in fantasy football, and it's not close when he is healthy. Let's go to the Vegas running back, Stefania. We have the Khalil Mack Bowl 2.0 as the Vegas Raiders play the Chicago Bears, who orchestrated that blockbuster trade a few years ago. Josh Jacobs played last week, Stefania. Peyton Barber got hurt last week. But what's the status on a variety of running backs?
I think what was most notable to me was that yesterday Josh Jacobs was listed as a full participant on the practice report. This is the first time we've seen it. Even though he played last week, you remember how questionable he was coming into that game. We weren't sure if he was going to be available. And he did make it through. You know, even though during the game we saw him come off and looked maybe a little bit uncomfortable, apparently he's gotten better as the week has gone on. Again, full practice yesterday. And I would expect that Josh Jacobs is going to get the bulk of the work because Peyton Barber has turf toe. Remember, he was injured in the first kickoff, I believe, in last week's game. But he did come back in. Still, that diagnosis, him not practicing at all this week, does not sound great. Looks like it will be Josh Jacobs.
Okay, and Josh Jacobs, sort of a high-end flex for both Matthew and I. Big issue, as we know, with Josh Jacobs has been efficiency as a runner and, of course, health, too. He caught 5 passes last week for just 17 yards, but there has not been much in the way of explosive runs for him this season. Joe Mixon, Stefania, we know, was originally coined, I believe, week-to-week by Adam Schefter. Zach Taylor has had to follow up and say day-to-day. Well, day-to-day suggests maybe more week-to-week based off what I've heard so far. What do you know?
Well, as of today, he was not present at the open portion of practice, the part that is open to the media, and that follows 2 days of him not practicing. So I would anticipate that you are not going to see Joe Mixon this week. What's interesting to me is Ben Baby reported yesterday that the Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan said if Mixon was out, it would be a running back by committee approach with Perrine and Evans. I'm sure you guys will have an opinion on that.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
if you had
by the way,
to,
just sorry to interrupt you, Field, here, but just very quickly. Happens. No, literally while Stefania was talking, Kelsey Conway, who is a Cincinnati Bengals beat reporter for
The Inquirer.
For Inquirer Sports. So Kelsey Conway tweeting out Joe Mixon is at practice now in a hoodie. He's not practicing, however. Hashtag Bengals. So I would, you know, I know he wasn't spotted. Now he actually is, but he's spotted. He's not even dressed.
Yeah. I think it lends further credence to the idea that he'll be out. Yeah,
I agree.
So we expect Joe Mixon to be out. I expect that a committee is maybe not misleading Stefania, but what I do think, and I think this is in line with, and when I say what I think, really what I mean is like what the people like Ben Baby believe and have reported and suggested, which is that Samaje Perine will be the sort of early down back, the guy that if they're running the football on first and 10, you're more likely to see Samaje Perine than you are Chris Evans. But if the Bengals fall down big to the Packers, which is possible, if it's the end of the first half and they need a field goal or a touchdown opportunity with 2 minutes to go, I expect it to be Chris Evans, sixth-round pick out of Michigan, really talented guy. He didn't have a ton of opportunities in college. So I think that Perine maybe is like a top 25-ish back for me, Matthew. And
Can I give a good example of what I think is, and I just because it's top of mind, and I think
I'll decide
be helpful.
If it's good, but go ahead.
Fair enough. That's fine. It's my story, my life. I think it's very similar to the Seattle situation last night. That now Alex Collins was the guy you wanted to start, but you saw some DJ Dallas, you saw some Travis Homer. Like it wasn't entirely Alex Collins last night. Yeah. But that's what I think this situation will be. I think, you know, whatever, Alex Collins got 75% of the running back touches last night, 70%, something like that. I don't know exactly what it is, but the majority,
75.
Yeah, something like that, some version of that. And that's what I think Samaje Perine will be.
Okay.
Like, so to that point, you know what I mean? Like, do I think Chris Evans is involved? Yes. Do I think Chris Evans is involved enough that you would feel comfortable starting him, even in a deep PPR league? I do not. I do think that if you're starting a, and you need a running back, Samaje Perine is going to be the guy you want to start. And you said top 25. I had Alex Collins as running back 22 going into last night. That's about the right range. So I agree with you. I think he's in that 20 to 25 range as a high-end flex. You're hoping he gets a touchdown. But, you know, he's not going to have tremendous passing game usage. And so as a result, he's going to become, you know, he's, you know, somewhere between 70 and 90 yards, and you're hoping he falls into the end zone.
That's a good example. I'll let it fly. That was good.
There you go.
Stefania, same team, obviously. T. Higgins for the Bengals. He did not play either of the past two games. Could he return on Sunday?
It sounds like he could.
Nice.
Practicing on Wednesday and Thursday on a limited basis, he is practicing today. So that would be 3 days in a row. Sounds like he has a shot to play.
That is good news. Obviously, the Bengals have leaned heavily on Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd in recent weeks, but T. Higgins still a very valuable piece of that offense. The Titans saw life without Julio Jones and A.J. Brown last week. Stefania, are they going to have to relive that nightmare this Sunday?
It's interesting. Sort of a tale of two different hamstrings. A.J. Brown, who was out and originally called week to week, has been back upgraded to full participation yesterday. We'll see how he fared after putting that work in. And if he did well and is able to be out there again today for a full practice, I expect that you're going to see A.J. Brown. Julio Jones, however, has not been practicing yet at all. Now, these injuries don't necessarily get managed in the same way. I want to caution that. And we don't know exactly what work Julio Jones is doing. But I'm not prepared to say that he will be out yet this week. Let's see what happens today.
Okay.
By the way, Field, I think if anyone ever wants to write a feature story on me and you, A Tale of Two Hamstrings is a pretty good title.
That's not a bad idea.
Tale of Two Hamstrings works pretty well. Right.
So Stefania's not ready to rule out Julio Jones. I just personally am sort of bracing for the possibility he misses a game myself. And if it is the AJ Brown week, let's have an AJ Brown week. Come on,
we need one.
Back to full. I mean, not full strength, but at least full participation yesterday in practice suggests he's trending in the right direction. AJ Brown, up to this point of the season, understanding he's been hurt, has not looked like AJ Brown as of yet. Let's change that. No better matchup than the Jaguars to take care of doing exactly that. Sterling Shepard, Stefania, missed last week after leaving the prior game with a hamstring issue. Any chance he plays on Sunday?
I think there's a chance, and I think today is going to be a big indicator. He actually was listed as a non-participant in practice, but he was out there. He was in pads. He was doing side work. I mean, he seems to have been the most active of the hamstring injury group of wide receivers there in New York. So if he does enough Friday to convince them that he's ready to go, then maybe we will see Sterling Shepard.
Okay. If not, I just want to keep monitoring Kadarius Toney, first round pick out of Florida, who last week had six catches and pretty much all of them were sweet. And I don't know whether Sterling Shepard will play. You know, Stefania said it's possible, but even if he does, I would love to see the Giants continue to feature Kadarius Toney. They need to find as many ways to make explosive plays.
Yeah.
Give him the football.
He it'd be really interesting to see sort of what happens with him. He's somebody that I would love to have in Dynasty. Mm. You know what I mean? Feels like
I have that. Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
In
yeah.
our league? Yeah, nice.
Not in our league. No, different league.
Different league? Yeah. I do not have him.
In the expert league he plays in.
Yeah, I don't
not
have
the one he plays
league.
With you. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have him. I don't have him in our. Yeah. I don't have him in our dynasty league. Okay, I don't have him. I don't have him in the expert dynasty league that I'm the defending champ of, yes, and I'm currently in first place in. You know,
team league.
What?
Three team league.
12 team league.
Oh, okay.
12 team league. 33 man rosters. It's actually a deeper league.
You manage eight
and
of the 12 teams.
A tougher league than the league we're in. What?
Eight of the 12 teams.
You manage eight of the 12 teams.
Stop it. It's a good league. Shout out to the Scott Barrett DFB Invitational.
So anyways, I want to see more of Kadarius Toney. Stefania, a few injury updates on tight ends and then a quarterback, of course. Logan Thomas, we mentioned this one yesterday, but just remind the folks what's going on there.
Yeah, his hamstring injury is pretty significant. He's on IR, and Logan Thomas is going to be a few weeks, and I don't necessarily know for sure that he'll be back after the three games missed due to IR.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one. And then Gronk,
that's a guy that I have on my dynasty team.
Logan Thomas.
Mm. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Gotcha. That's the fantasy, the dynasty team we all have, where I also have, you know, J.K. Dobbins and Christian McCaffrey.
Trust
and
me,
Rashad Bateman.
I've got the, like, I take the king. I take the plate. Or what's the expression?
Take the cake.
On the injuries on that
king.
One.
Take the king.
I'm going to steal your king.
I don't think so. I think I'll put my injuries up against your injuries.
Trust me. Go take a look at my roster.
All right.
Tale of two hamstrings is what I would call that.
Tale of two hamstrings. Exactly right.
Stefania, one more here on the tight end front. Gronk, who missed last week but not placed on IR. Could he play on Sunday?
He could, but listen, the good news is that the lung injury that he had, you know, you talk about these lung injuries that can occur with ribs and pneumothorax, you get a little hole poke in the lung, that apparently has healed. The rib fractures, and he has more than one of them, still very painful, still difficult to move. It's still early in the healing process. Rob Gronkowski, I mixed it. Ronk. he's as tough as they come, but apparently I made Daniel.
Ronk!
He's as tough as they come, but if you saw the shot that he took, like, it's very hard to protect against that. I don't know. It might come down to the wire, but I wouldn't be surprised if he missed another week.
If you're going to play a Bucs tight end, Cameron Brate's the answer. He played many more snaps and more meaningful snaps for fantasy than did O.J. Howard last week. Brate didn't have a huge night, but still, it's clear which one's getting more run if you're trying to replace Gronk.
No one had a huge night. I mean, it was a rainy night. New England played well. Like, I wouldn't read too much into that game other than the fact that, yes, I agree with you, Brate over Howard of picking a non-Gronk Buccaneers tight end.
All right, Stefania, and the one that you've been waiting for and really a lot of people have been bracing for. What's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo and that calf?
It's really you've got to read some tea leaves out there in San Francisco, because Jimmy Garoppolo has not practiced yet this week, and he hasn't been ruled out by Kyle Shanahan, but so far it's not looking great. Trey Lance getting all the first team reps while Jimmy Garoppolo sits out. When he spoke to reporters, he used the words battling through, which is what he would be doing if he played on Sunday. It wouldn't be a matter of him being fully 100%. He would be out there working through the calf injury. So they've got some decisions to make. It sounds like they're trying to give him as much rest time in advance of Friday as possible, but it's just not looking great for him to go. And I know he's not on our list, but I do want to throw up there Elijah Mitchell as well, because Elijah Mitchell, who obviously has missed time because of the shoulder injury, no longer wearing a blue non-contact jersey in practice this week. He's definitely trending in the right direction, so possibility Elijah Mitchell returns.
And that'll be really interesting. Maybe not necessarily this week if he's not 100%, but what if the 49ers turn the job back over to him in week six potentially? Because remember, when Raheem Mostert got hurt, it was clear who the guy was, and that was Elijah Mitchell until he got banged up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and what's a shame, though, it's a good matchup with Arizona. Like, we expect that to be a high-scoring game, and so, but I don't know that if Elijah Mitchell's active, that you can feel confident in Trey Sermon or Mitchell. Like, we just don't know how that running back room is going to play out, right? I mean, and Kyle Juszczyk is getting actually weirdly some snaps. And so the last 2 weeks, I think because they trust him more in pass protection in certain packages. So if Elijah Mitchell were out, then I think Trey Sermon becomes, you know, a lower end RB2 in this one once again. But if Elijah Mitchell's active, I don't think you can start any 49ers running back, even though I think a 49ers running back will have a good game against Arizona. I just don't think you have any confidence in who that might be.
Only thing I want to ask you. This is not about the wide receivers or the pass catchers in San Francisco. But if Trey Lance starts on Sunday, top. How high would he climb in your rankings?
I have him ranked, and I have him at QB 12.
Okay, so he's a borderline starter, and if you play in a 12 team or a 14 team league, certainly one of the most exciting upside options at quarterback, and can't wait to see what happens with him. Last week, they did not have a game plan designed for Trey Lance. You would think they would have one available for Sunday if he needs to play. Such a talented, I mean, he's the real deal as an athlete. We'll see if he comes around quickly as a quarterback. And if he does, watch out to the rest of the league.
Yeah, it was, look, he looked like a super talented but raw rookie in that half. Like, mm-hmm. he made some great plays, then he made some plays where you're like, okay, not ready for prime time yet. And yet still, despite an uneven NFL performance, had over 20 fantasy points. Now, a lot of it came on like a broken coverage, Deebo Samuel, where Deebo did most of the work, and he was wide open where literally I might have been able to hit that pass. Yeah. I mean, there was no one around Deebo for yards.
That would not have been possible.
I have no
Do
speed.
Do not compare yourself to Deebo Samuel in my presence, please.
I'm not comparing myself to Deebo Samuel. I'm comparing myself to Trey Lance, and I'm merely saying
that either.
Daniel,
I don't have a lot of arm strength and I'm not fast, but I'm actually surprisingly accurate as a thrower. I feel like I could have gotten it. I could have gotten the ball.
Video
to Deebo Samuel.
Or I don't believe you.
I will show you video. But anyway, the point is, the point here.
What was the point?
Is that Trey Lance would be a top 12 quarterback, and it's also, by the way, we don't know what this offense is going to look like under Trey Lance, which would add further question marks to the running backs if Elijah Mitchell is active, because Trey Lance is always a threat to vulture carries in close. But anyway, 7 carries for 41 yards and a half in a game in which he did not look that great. He still had 20 fantasy points, high-scoring game against the Cardinals. Trey Lance would be QB 12 for me if Garoppolo has been ruled out.
I think what we're trying to figure out is whether it seems like Trey Lance has the most upside of any rookie quarterback that will be starting.
Yep.
You know, Justin Fields, they haven't uncorked him as a runner. Mac Jones is just a thrower, obviously. And then Trevor Lawrence is a little bit of both. But, you know, the poor play by the Jaguars in general has kind of held him back from being a starter. And Zach Wilson will get there. Fortunately, the turnovers came back in a positive way to where they needed to be last week. But Zach Wilson's still a bit inconsistent.
I will say I do have Trevor Lawrence as a others receiving votes on the love list this week.
Nice call.
Listen, 10 days to prepare. I thought he's starting to use his running more. You know what I mean? We saw that, which is something we talked about in the preseason that they're trying to incorporate what he, you know, the way he used his legs at Clemson. And, you know, you like the matchup with Tennessee.
Time for a game of new role. Who dis? Where we dive into some players who perhaps have seen a shift in their role in recent weeks or last week. And that takes us right into our week 4 craveable player brought to you by McDonald's. And it is, of course, Friday. Go to McDonald's and get free fries. Use the app. It's delightful.
I'll tell you about it later in the show. All right, tell me about it later in the show because that sounds exciting.
Yeah,
that sounds craveable.
Yeah.
Last Sunday night, the Bucs actually ran the ball a lot, and Leonard Fournette was the guy. I just combined the two of them. Leonard Fournette played 60 of 74 offensive snaps, Matthew. Ronald Jones played just 13. I've got him at 15, Leonard Fournette on my running back board this week. If we're going to categorize Leonard Fournette, he's not a must start. But he is like pretty darn close to it, and there's not significant upside because there are so many pass catchers that could easily get touchdowns, and Tom Brady is he's the greatest quarterback sneaker of all time. But like, I kind of feel like Leonard Fournette's got a floor right now that makes him close to a must start.
He made the love list this week as well. Leonard Fournette did. I'm at running back 16, right? So you mentioned it, you know, 15 fantasy points last week on double digit touches. Last week, 23 touches. Sorry, misread my numbers here. 23 touches last week. And you mentioned the over 81% snaps. But here's the other thing that I think is important here.
Okay.
I think they're sick of Ronald Jones. The argument, the anti-Leonard Fournette argument or the anti-Ronald Jones argument has been that, hey, it's a committee and you've got Giovanni Bernard there.
Right.
But the fact is that Giovanni Bernard is hurt. We don't expect him to play in this game. And the Buccaneers are clearly sick of Ronald Jones, whether it's missing blocks, whether it's fumbles. The inconsistent play of Jones has thrust Fournette into a starting role, and Fournette did nothing on Sunday night to make you think that he would lose that job. And you sit here and you look at a matchup with the Dolphins, who've allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs, who have allowed a league-high 2.5 yards per carry after contact to running backs. Like, it's a bad tackling Dolphins defense. The strength of the Dolphins defense is that secondary. And the way you move the ball against Miami is running the ball. And so I think Fournette should get the lion's share of the work on a good offense in a good matchup. He makes the love list this week, top 20 play for me and for you.
As we know, David Montgomery is out 4 or 5 weeks is the timeline that even Matt Nagy himself confirmed. Matt, the next man up is Damian Williams, who in 6 games with at least 12 carries in his career has averaged over 21 fantasy points. Very good pass catcher. How much of a drop-off do you expect this week from David Montgomery to Damian Williams?
Not much at all.
Okay.
I think Damian Williams is a good player. Just from a pure football standpoint, I think Damian Williams got jobbed in the Super Bowl. I think he should have been the Super Bowl MVP the year Kansas City won.
I think honestly. You are correct.
Yeah. I know Mahomes won that, and all due respect to Patrick, but Damian Williams should have been
the MVP. Why do you hate Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I'd love me some Patrick Mahomes.
Prove it.
All right, fine. You want to see my Patrick Mahomes tattoo?
No, I don't. Maybe.
Wait a
second. Yes, I do.
Wait a second. Yes. Can you also throw better than Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, my God.
I cannot.
Okay.
No,
you
know, I don't think
you said you throw better than Trey Lance.
So no, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't say I throw better than Trey Lance.
That's what I heard.
I just said,
or you run faster than Deebo Samuel.
I said I could have. He was so wide open that even I could have made the throw. Is what I said, Stefania.
Okay.
Thanks for picking and choosing what I say here. What I would tell
Welcome
you.
Welcome to 2021.
I know. I'm trying to get you ready for what your kids are going to do to you as they grow.
I'm very excited for the Matthew Berry deep fakes where they make me, I'm going to have enough bad predictions of my own. You don't need to deep fake them, but that's probably coming. Anyway, what I would say here about Damian Williams is I think he's a talented player. And I think he's, when to your the point that the stat that you gave, Field, in terms of when he gets work, right? When he got 12 or more carries with Kansas City, he averaged over 21 fantasy points a game. When he has gotten work, he has been a productive fantasy player in his career. He's going to get work on Sunday for the Chicago Bears. And certainly this matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders does not scare you at all. I mean, we just saw Austin Eckler, crush them. They allowed the 7th most fantasy points to opposing running backs so far this season. To me, Damian Williams is a must start. I am at 15. That's where he comes in the consensus ranks as well. And I think he's going to be a top 15 player as long as David Montgomery is out.
So the path is clear to me, right? It's partly the volume, but it's mostly that he is such a good pass catcher.
Yes.
The question is Justin Fields, who we know is at his best launching the football down. That's where he's really at his strength, right? Is the downfield throwing. The question is just how much of that touch on the running back passes is available, right? And if he's throwing the ball, if he's dumping the ball to Damian Williams 4 to 5 times a game, then the upside is comparable to David Montgomery. David Montgomery has been running so well this year prior to that injury, though, that if those passes aren't available for Damian Williams, I'm slightly less optimistic over the course of the next 4 to 5 weeks. But for this week, I am banking on the good stuff happening. I've got him at running back 14, just one spot ahead of you. We expect Josh Gordon to make his debut on Sunday night. He was signed to the Chiefs 53-man roster earlier on in the week. Matthew, we have long known the Josh Gordon story. He is an incredible talent. He's an incredible story. But does this matter for fantasy right now?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It matters only in the sense that everyone's talking about him, but it doesn't matter in the sense in terms of anything actionable. I can't imagine starting Josh Gordon anytime soon. And by the way, you're on the field with Patrick Mahomes. Anything can happen. He could easily score a touchdown. He could easily score a long touchdown. Like, that's possible with any player. But we have never seen in the Patrick Mahomes era, we have never seen a player not named Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce have consistent fantasy success in this offense. Sammy Watkins last year, huge week one.
It was like every year. Yeah,
every year, and then did nothing, right? We've had big games from Byron Pringle, from DeMarcus Robinson, from Mecole Hardman, but not consistently. It's Travis Kelce, it's Tyreek Hill, it's Travis Kelce, and maybe it's the running back. That's who you're starting on the Kansas City Chiefs. You're starting CEH this week, certainly, but I'm just saying, that's not the way that offense is built. Josh Gordon is a bigger name and a bigger pipe dream than I think realistic, consistent fantasy production. He was off. I'll tell you this. In one of my deep, deep leagues, Josh Gordon was offered to me yesterday in a trade for my third tight end. And this is a league where you only play one tight end.
Who's your tight end? Third tight end.
My third tight end?
Yeah.
It's Gerald Everett, and I passed on it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Like, I didn't want to give up my third tight end, Gerald Everett, who I like, for Josh Gordon. I mean, just to give you an idea of how little I... And again, I am rooting for Josh Gordon, the person. He has been through a lot of adversity, and I am rooting for him, and I hope he sticks, and I hope it's awesome. Fantasy-wise, no thank you.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, I'd have to see it before I bought into it for Josh Gordon. I am sort of curious if the Chiefs dress all those wide receivers. Tyreek Hill, Josh Gordon, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, or has one got to go like on Sunday? Yeah. Which I know that doesn't really matter, obviously. I mean, not like anybody's starting Byron Pringle or anybody else.
I think it'll come down to special teams. You know?
But Josh Gordon has none. So.
Right, exactly. My point is Tyreek and Josh Gordon aren't playing special teams, so which of the remaining three do? Right, you know,
and Mecole Hardman does, right. Byron Pringle does, so maybe DeMarcus Robinson is the odd man right. out in this equation. We'll find out on Sunday night if any of them are. We're going to talk about players who maybe deserve to stay in timeout right now. But before we do that, forge your NFL dynasty in Madden NFL 22 with new franchise features that deliver even more control. Manage your coaching staff and upgrade them with new talents. Devise a new game plan for every opponent with in-depth weekly strategy. Experience the ups and downs of a real NFL season with the enhanced season engine. Madden NFL 22, Game Day Happens Here, available now.
This episode of Fantasy Focus is also brought to you by McDonald's. Mm. McDonald's, I'd like to remind you, is the only place you drive through just for the fries. Matthew, I'm going to put this in a way that you can understand,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, please do.
You're sitting in the car,
yeah.
A hot bag of McDonald's fries.
Ooh.
The smell filling your 1932 Model A Ford that you bought with money you made as a 32-year-old newsie. But you know what? Yeah. You're proud of that car, and it's paid off. And dang it, you're not going to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. You reach into that bag, and you feel a hot and slightly salty fry with your fingertips. Your mouth starts to water. But you know what, Matthew Berry?
What's up?
Let's stop talking about fries and let's start eating them for free on Fridays.
Wait, what?
With Free Fry Friday in the McDonald's app, all you've got to do to get yourself a free medium McDonald's fry is spend $1 on anything in the McDonald's app. It's that easy. Free medium fries when you order on the app with the purchase of $1 or more.
Oh.
Offer valid.
So I could order fries.
You could order fries
and then get
a free fry. Offer valid. Through 12/31/21 at participating U.S. McDonald's, valid one time a day, excludes tax, McDonald's app download and registration required.
Could see what you do there. Well, you know what you do there. You know what the play is? The play is that you order the fry, you order the fries to get to past the $1, and then you get the extra fries.
Yes.
And then you drive home, and because while you're driving home, you're eating all the fries.
Yes.
And then you come home, and you're like, honey, look, I got your fries, and here's the McDonald's and everything like that. And they don't know... You know, that you're the big fat pig that you are.
Yeah.
Because
you ate all the fries.
You ate all the fries going home.
They have no
and then,
idea.
And then you bring home the fries and you're like, all right, well, let's split up the fries.
And you're the hero. And you split up the
you're
fries.
Heroes,
wow.
Right?
The
yeah,
hero
exactly.
And you take some more. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Your tax is huge.
I'm just saying.
Amazing.
Like, you know, that strategy is what that
that's
is.
That's what that is.
That's
called a veteran move.
Yeah.
You are very veteran.
I may have I may be speaking from experience on that particular point.
Did you guys see Matthew dodge me on Twitter yesterday when I tried to ask him a question?
No, what happened?
Oh, man.
No,
no, look at this. I saw Matthew's face for a moment. He was like, do I want to get into this or not?
And then he like totally pulled back because he's like, no, Fields right. I did. I better not. I better be quiet or he's going to expose me. No, now you've done it. Go ahead, Fields.
Daniel and Spagna, let me ask you this. Let me turn to you guys.
Okay.
So here's what it is. Yeah. So ESPN, the @ESPN Twitter account, opposed to the fact that this was like the anniversary of Georgia Tech being Cumberland.
105th anniversary.
105th anniversary of Georgia Tech beating Cumberland like 222-0.
To zero,
lopsided score in college football history.
Yeah.
And Field quote-tweeted that and said something like, you know, hey, at Matthew Berry TMR, what was it like seeing this game in person?
Yeah, right.
The joke being that I'm over 105
years old. No, I understand the joke. You didn't need to explain it, but thank you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's an old joke. It's okay. Another old
no,
joke.
No, I still got it. You didn't need to explain it a second
it's
time.
It's another old joke. In case you're looking for a theme in Field's
yes,
tweets.
Okay. Usually old jokes.
Yes. I'm old. Some version of I'm old. So got it. Understood. Asked and answered. Here's my question. What's the response to that? Because I couldn't, I had it open and I was going to respond to it. And then I'm like, I candidly did not have a good enough response. So I thought better just to leave it. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have a great,
yeah.
like, there's two ways to go with that, right? Like either like
you just lean in. I think
right, that's what
way,
I was gonna do, but I was gonna be like, it was great, but they ran out of popcorn or something like that, you know, like or like
that would have been awesome.
But,
I'm thinking like, you know, it was great. Like I happened to start the number one wide receiver that day.
Yeah, I thought about it. Every line that I had in response to it, I thought was lame in my mind, and so I thought it was better. Aww. It wasn't dodging
you. That's never stopped you before.
Well, wow, no.
Yeah, fair.
All right, next time you text
also,
me.
I'm being super honest
we
here.
We kid because we care.
I took the game.
I have
well, yes, I was not at the game.
We're being super honest here.
I was not at the game. No, we're being super honest.
That day.
I flew into Vegas Monday night. I flew back on Wednesday. I took the red eye Wednesday night to get back here to do. I did Stephen A's World yesterday. Get the column in on time and do. And we did a new episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. And so I was asleep when you like. I landed at like 7 a.m. Went home, slept for a while up until I. You know so. And then, like, so by the time I saw it, it had been a few hours. And then I'm just like, and then anyway, so, and I didn't have a great response. And I'm just like, ah.
Honestly, I was just trying to, like, throw a one liner in there. And that was a very thoughtful reason why you didn't respond. I feel bad for even asking now.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
I'm in the doghouse, like Miles Sanders. See what I just did right there?
Yep.
So let's dive into a few players that have been not good so far this year in fantasy and decide whether you should just let them sit on your bench until they tell you otherwise. Matthew, Miles Sanders is your 26th ranked running back this week. I've got him at 30. You have him on the hate list, Matthew. Are you basically trying to tell people don't play Miles Sanders this week?
I just don't know how you have any confidence starting him. He made the hate list this week, as you mentioned. So over the last 2 weeks, Miles Sanders has 15 touches. Not 15 touches a game. 15 touches total.
Crazy.
Two games. That is, hang on, 7.5 touches a game. I just did that math in my head.
Wow.
Sometimes we get notes on these sheets of paper here, but that one
just upped the game a little bit.
Just did that on my head, right? Weeks 1 through 2, he was averaging 16.5 touches a game. By the way, he split the goal to go carries. He split the goal to go carries with Kenneth Gainwell. Pretty good defense in Carolina. They allowed the third fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. Jalen Hurts, obviously, a threat to vulture a touchdown as well. So he's in a timeshare that isn't even getting work. Like, Miles Sanders, listen, he has big playability. We've seen it before. We've seen it this year. Like, could he break a long one? Of course he could. But I just don't know, based on his usage and this matchup, how you could have any confidence in starting Miles Sanders. If you're starting him, you're starting him with the idea of, like, just going, like, bleh. That's me, you know, hitting submit on putting him in the lineup right there. That's what that was for
Very
people
good.
That don't have the visual.
Okay.
But, right, I mean, like, right? Like, I just don't know how you have any confidence. I have him at running back 26, so I'm as a mid-tier flex, and ideally you're starting a wide receiver at your flex.
I'm not trying to dunk one more time on you, but when you said, like, you did that math in your head right there, were you being serious or no?
Yes. I was.
I was going to say, because it's right there on the note as well.
No, I know, but I was making a joke that I was.
Okay.
I didn't look. I didn't see that it was on the note. But, like, you know, 15 divided by 2 is fairly easy math. That was the joke.
You speak
the joke,
for yourself. I'm no math major over
the,
here.
The joke was that I did that math
in
my
head. Because like, 15 divided by 2, because it was easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. That was hopefully the humorous part
of that
moment.
Yeah.
That was.
Hopefully.
And so, and like, if you're asking, like, did I legitimately do that math in my head, or did I cheat and look at the paper? No, I legitimately divided 15 by 2 in my head.
Okay, I'm impressed.
Just on the
fly.
Let's keep things moving here in the last handful of
notes. Just so you know, I don't know if this is apparent to you. I think it's apparent to pretty much everyone else that listens to the podcast.
Okay.
But I don't come in with preconceived notions of what I'm going to say. There are people that write out their podcast that literally write out their answers that specifically do that.
Wow, really?
Yes. Oh. J.J. Zachariasen does that, and J.J.'s great. He's a friend. We like him.
I'm
a fan. J.J.'s awesome.
Love
but J.J.'s been very public about that. J.J.'s like, I write out my entire podcast before he does it.
Oh, wow.
And he does a great job on his podcast. Is really popular.
Didn't realize
but I'm just saying, but like, so there.
He's a natural.
J.J.'s great. But my point is that, so I don't come in with any I'm just sort of like, I think the appeal of this show is it just, we sort of never know exactly where it's going to go, and so I just sort of try to react in the moment to whatever I'm asked.
Yeah.
And that has so far seemed to have, you know, kept me employed for some reason, whatever reason that is.
Well, so, you know,
but anyway,
not,
somebody, yeah.
Speaking of might not being employed, Allen Robinson might not be employed on my fantasy roster.
Well, let me do something here, Daniel, because I think that the conversation we're going to end up having with these players is fairly similar. So Allen Robinson and Odell Beckham, Matthew, over the past 2 weeks, over the past 4 weeks, Allen Robinson's wide receiver 64. Over the past 2 weeks, Odell has been wide receiver 51 behind the likes of Cedric Wilson. What's the calculus for starting either of those players? Like, is it as simple as you really don't have a better option, or is it, I'm so fearful of Allen Robinson going Robert Woods on Sunday that I'm going to play him?
That's the only argument for starting Allen Robinson is past success in previous years. And yes, exactly right. The Robert Woods of it, you know, which is you're just like, well, you know, I drafted this guy high and he's got the potential to go off and I'm going to be miserable because I saw this on Twitter. There were definitely people that were like, I can't believe, you know, I suffered through 4 weeks of Robert Woods and then I finally bench him last night and now he has a monster game. So I get all that. I guess my argument would be is that at least with Robert Woods, as bad as it was through the first 4 weeks, like he had two touchdowns. Like he had he was averaging double digit fantasy points. He'd gotten they were junk time scores.
Had been better than Allen
he'd been
Robinson
like he'd been a disappointment, sure. But he'd been he'd had a couple of usable games.
Right.
Like again, not great, but he had a couple 14-point games where you're like, all right, not ideal, but like could be worse. Allen Robinson is wide receiver 64 on the season. Allen Robinson is wide receiver 64.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he has yet to have a week as a top 45 wide receiver.
Yeah.
He is not, if you're like, you know what, but I still believe in Justin Fields. I want to start the guy on the Bears that has the most targets, receptions, receiving yards. Well, then you're starting Darnell Mooney.
I agree.
Like he's not even the best wide receiver on the Bears. And so I guess for me, look, I ranked him 27. I ranked him wide receiver 27, so I'm as a low-end wide receiver 3. So I think the rationale for starting him is you hope that Justin Fields looked a little better in week 2 than he did in week 1, and now that Justin Fields knows he's the guy, that they've committed to him as the starter for the rest of the year, that maybe they, you know, that Justin Fields is like, I got to get the big dog eating, and they try to design some stuff for him. Allen Robinson makes a lot of bad quarterbacks better, and so I think Justin Fields is like, you know what, my chance at success in this league lies in getting the ball to Allen Robinson. It's not a matchup that scares you with the Vegas, but I don't think it's a great matchup. I think the Raiders are pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Your rational for starting him is just you don't have any other better options and you're holding out hope that he has a Woods-like game.
So
he made the hate list for a reason.
We frequently talk about how you want to see someone earn their way back into your lineup. Allen Robinson would be an example. Miles Sanders is an example. We're at the inverse, it feels like, right now with Cordarrelle Patterson, is that you see all these negative indicators that, like, I'm sure keep Mike Clay up at night thinking about the projections, like, whatever, 12 total touches, and he scores 37 fantasy points.
He literally breaks Mike Clay's mind.
Yes, he does.
He is the model buster.
Right? Yes, he is the Eric Ebron of 2021. And yet, Matthew, we're ranking him like you have to start him. And so I understand, like, all the negatives are apparent, right? The incredible efficiency that's bound to level off at some point. I actually don't love the matchup. I will say this, like, we got to stop considering the Jets a cakewalk matchup for opposing offenses. They've been playing frisky defense so far this year. But it just feels like, Matthew, like, until given reason otherwise, just continue to play Cordarrelle Patterson.
I think that's exactly right. Especially, by the way, let's be clear, again, no Calvin Ridley. My argument on Cordarrelle Patterson has been consistent throughout this, and I've been running back 17, so I'm as a top 20 play this week. He qualifies at running back in ESPN. I think if you play on another platform where he's a wide receiver, maybe it's more of a decision because you probably have more options available to you. But my argument is that he is somebody that is going to continue increasing his snaps and his targets because as Arthur Smith looks around trying to find ways to ignite this Falcons offense, which has been inconsistent to be kind this year, Cordarrelle Patterson has given them a spark. And is it insane that like a guy in his whatever it is eighth NFL season is on his third NFL team?
Fifth.
It might. Oh, is it fifth? Oh, he played with the Patriots. Yeah,
his Vikings, fifth, Raiders, Patriots. Bears, Falcons.
Right, and Falcons.
Crazy,
right.
Huh?
His fifth NFL team, his eighth NFL season, that suddenly he's a breakout. Like, yes, it's all insane. And obviously the efficiency rations, you know, he's just like, you know, he's scoring touchdowns at an unsustainable rate. But he's a talented player. They're being creative in how they're using him. And he's going to continue to get more work. And certainly against the Jets, which maybe they're not the laughingstock that people thought they were in the preseason. But they're also not they're not the 1985 Bears either, right? Like, they're going to be able to move the ball against the Jets. And without Calvin Ridley, I think Patterson has a nice game here. I would prefer Patterson to Mike Davis if I was choosing between Falcons running backs.
All right, so there you have it for the show. Just a reminder to continue to follow Stefania everywhere, whether it's on social media or on Fantasy Football Now, for the latest in regards to Russell Wilson. But we will be back on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2 for Fantasy Football Now. In the meantime, thanks for watching the Fantasy Focus. We'll talk to you on Monday. For Stefania and Daniel and Matthew, I'm Field.
Peace out!
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady, out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. She's our Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.